breakfast as soon as I can.
Greetings, the automatically deleted husband, and I'm going to change the format of these voicemails. I'm working on it today, maybe tomorrow, because I think Monday they're going to start going on BitChute and Brighteon and things of that nature, because I'm going to change the focus more towards theology and perhaps the, you know, we might say current events kind of things. Because if my objective is to have something for my kids, obviously I'm censored to them, but maybe if I make it a little higher profile, it'll get to them. Also, 2-3 years ago, I did an experiment where I did that foundation series, and I was getting, within the first few days, each time I released a video, it started a little bit, but by the time I did about, what, a dozen, two dozen of them, I was getting 200 views. And I think those were real views because they were coming within a few days. And there was interaction. So I think I may do that again. Probably simply use the promise title. And so structure will be the same. One of the things I think I'll do is, as I experimented with the fairly long video in reference to, what was it called? A few days ago, I'm asking, will you practice what you preach, in reference to the First Baptist pastor who haven't heard from him yet. But anyway, I have on the website the document that I the outline. And then, of course, I have the timestamps. I'm thinking about even putting the timestamps in the beginning of the video, just as a text overlay. So those are the things played with. So with that in mind, let's talk about the Quran and the Hadiths. Seems appropriate for the Christian, right? Many years ago, and you'll note the image I use today is a picture of a book open. But the book, if you look carefully, the text is, there's the artsy craftsy kind of border on the text, and it's hard to see, but it is Arabic because it is a Quran. So in 2016, a number of years ago, December 4th, so almost that's 7 years ago. I did a video called Love the Muslim, Contend with Islam. Because again, the point of that video was the Muslim, depending upon, and I've heard both pronunciations, is someone who subscribes to the Quran, the Hadith, Muhammad, and so forth. Islam, the faith he has, I will contend, is false. But I'll do so respectfully. Respectfully because I will contend his faith is based on a fallacy. But he's a human being. He's a human being created in the image of God. He may be, indeed, one day celebrating Jesus Christ with me in the way I do. Because obviously, the Muslim celebrates Jesus Christ, the prophet Jesus, not the Lord Jesus. There's the issue. And so one of the things is that some, even in the Muslim community, some even think, because there's an anticipation of the return of Christ. And, it's part of the Islamic faith. And some actually believe he's here. There's this idea of, and I'm vague on this, the 12 imams. And he's part of the time when the last one comes, which is the time of the end. Which, so it's the eschatology, the Islamic version. And again, a lot of people there. The gentleman, Benajab, whatever, who was the head of Iran some years ago, was very into this. And even spoke of it very formally at the UN, the General Assembly meeting that he spoke at. There are a lot of people really into this. But the Quran is the book It is, in essence, their Bible. It is their reference. There is the issue, and again, my understanding is, as an observer, and not someone who is, I've read it, but I haven't studied it. So my understanding is there's this idea of abrogation. Newer verses abrogate the old, which to me is a red flag, because obviously when I look at the Bible, it's consistent. There's no abrogation, because the author, you know, in the case of the Quran, they look at it written on written, and it was written in heaven before. And it's essentially copied down by Muhammad or something of that nature. But obviously, he didn't get it right, so there are some issues. There's contentious things about what's called the satanic verses, which got this one guy, you know, there was some serious trouble. He wrote a book about that called the satanic verses or whatnot. But that's part of the Quran, where Muhammad apparently wrote things down that later were said to be from Satan, not from God. I don't have the details about that. But see, these are the kind of issues these are some of the issues that they deal with. But the hadiths, or the writings or sayings, are huge. And that's not a consistent document in the sense that everybody has a different set, because apparently it's huge. They're the common ones, but apparently there are some that are, it's complex. And so within Islam, there are people that will subscribe to a certain set, or a different set. There's also the Quran only group. So Islam is not uniform. It's like Catholic, Orthodox, Protestant, and so forth. Islam is not unified, which I think brings up something that I will contend is quite important. And since I actually wrote it down to a friend today, there is a passage in several of the hadiths. It's slightly different in the hadiths, but what I wrote is, I heard often quoted, trees will say, "O Muslims, O Abdullah, there is a Jew behind me, come kill him." And you'll find that in several of the hadiths. And what you hear, especially now in the tensions around Israel and Palestine, or especially the Gaza Strip, and less than fond things that are going back and forth, some of the Jewish protagonists, or Israeli protagonists, are quoting this in order to say, look, those people are bad. And the issue is, there are two dominant strains, just like we have Catholic, Protestant, for example. There is Orthodox, so there's kind of really three. But we have Catholic and Protestant. They have Sunni and Shia. It's kind of that kind of divide. And, you know, the interesting thing is, the Sunni is Saudi Arabia, the Shia is more Iran. So that's roughly where the difference is. You go to places like Iraq, which was fairly divided between Sunni and Shia. Lebanon and Syria, I think, has a pretty good divide of both. I'm not sure. But my understanding, if you go to Gaza a decade ago or more, depending upon whose numbers you'd have, you would see a dominance of the Sunni Islamic community. But you also would see, at that time, about the numbers I saw was about 10% of the population in Gaza were Christian. The last numbers I heard was about 1,000 people. So 1,000 people out of a population of roughly 2 million is, you know, less than 1%. So a lot of them perhaps left, or one of the two numbers or both are less than accurate. If you go back a good while, maybe like 20 years or so, I don't know when, there was a Jewish community in Gaza. But the country of Israel, the political leadership and so forth, removed them from Gaza in order to isolate Gaza as Islamic only, mostly, except again for that Christian portion. And of course, they built this huge wall and the blockade at the sea and so forth. But the thing that's interesting is if you quote this hadith about there's a Jew behind me, come kill him. That is kind of an eschatology thing, and you have to quote it in context, because again, the context is post the return of Christ. I believe that's true. So it's not today. So that has to be part of the context. It's like those within the Christian community or the Jewish community looking for the third temple. It's not there today. So, and I would suggest it's not called for because anyway, but so you have to put it in context. But then the other thing is the Sunni subscribes to this hadith. The Shia do not, in general, my understanding. So you have the Sunnis, the Saudi Arabias, who would say, at least for their eschatology, look at the Jew as someone to kill. But then again, kill in context, because there is the idea of the Jew, you know, there's the Jew who converts, there's the Jew, because they're biologically Jewish, they do convert to Islam and so forth, or they pay the jizya, you know, basically a tax in order to survive, things of that nature. So you had to add those contexts into the dialogue. But there seems to be, you know, because there was a bit of sharing of diplomatic relationships and so forth between Israel and Saudi Arabia and other countries, United Arab Emirates and others. Those things were kind of softening. The relationships were improving, but they're the Sunni. But the tension is with Iran, which is Shia. And so if you quote this hadith to attack the Islamic community, you are effectively attacking Saudi Arabia and the like, not Iran and the like. My understanding is a lot of Iraq has shifted more towards Sunni than Shia. I'm not sure how true that is, but anyway. So when you make the accusations, it sounds like, because I've heard several now make the accusation by quoting this hadith and saying, look, the Islamic community is bad, they want to kill the Jews. And it's ironic because Netanyahu quoted the 1 Samuel 15 about the Amalekites as his justification to kill the Islamic community. You got to be careful about when you use a particular reference, are you using it correctly? So I find this fascinating because what becomes so easy is you hear somebody quote this and obviously, okay, I'm going to rally around this because somebody's giving me evidence in order to hate a particular group. But why are you hating? Are you a follower of Christ? You know, the Christ, our creator, who tells you little things like vengeance is mine. Do good to those who love your enemies, do good to those who despitefully use you, and things of that nature. So if you're a follower of Christ, why are you looking for stuff in order to fuel hate with somebody? Oh, we got to protect ourselves? No, you do not. No, you do not. It's the idea of, unless the Lord watches over a house, the watchmen watch in vain. Unless the Lord watches over a city, the watchmen watch in vain. Our trust is in the Lord. Not our state, not our military. Our trust is in the Lord. Do you trust the Lord? If you do, live in trust of the Lord. not in trust of the state. And don't take somebody who's going to twist or distort or at least give you, strive to give you, instill hate in you by using what I will contend are false documents, the Quran, the Hadith. But if they use that in order to instill hate in you, there's a problem. So, there's so many other things, but I'm trying to keep this shorter. I didn't get it done, but I wrote the text. Suckered by Encryption is the title I have right now, for a video to release, well, now tomorrow, for Shofar Nexus. And I would suggest it's probably the most boldest, profound, or whatever, of the ones I've done. Because if it doesn't scare you, then I didn't make the presentation well, or you're a fool. Because, you know, it's been most of the time set up, and then just the last part of it, and the intention is to use some pictures to drive home the point. You first do this little kind of artsy craft, the animated stuff and whatnot, the little, and then some pictures of some reality to show you. There's a problem here. And basically, the state is not your friend. So I hope to have that done, because it does seem to me my efforts to find employment have not been very successful. I do think the issue may be age, my history more in C rather than C sharp, which is more marketable and things of that nature. Plus, if you look at my resume, you look at some of the other things I've done, it's kind of like, I don't know if we want to go there. And then, of course, you know, my email signature things have the links to Shofar Nexus and Shofar Leaks. And, of course, I have the Ezekiel quote and whatnot Ecclesiastes. You know, fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. You know, when you have that in the base of an email, and you say, okay, our atheist organization is good, I don't think I want this guy. Yeah, and I'm not going to hide that. I'm not going to drop that. So I had the Kozlowski.org, Shofar Nexus, Shofar Book, and Shofar Leaks in my signature, and I'm not going to hide that. I'm sorry, I'm not. So all those things may be part of the reason why there's been mostly silence and a couple of rejections. So I do think there needs to be a stronger push, and I do hope this new video is that strong push. And I'm going to try to raise money to restart Shofar Nexus, because I was close to the ecosystem back in September when I had to stop and try again. That is my hope. And we'll see what happens. And if the Suckered by Encryption doesn't do it, there's going to be a problem. I mentioned yesterday, because I did a little more, I actually discussed it with Chris. I'm going to get long. I discussed it with Chris about the idea of my understanding of history, where, you know, the Christian community up to the 300s, you know, the first couple hundred years of it, became really strong. And, you know, this is, you'll find my Kaiser Kurios video, which was censored by YouTube, that the Christian community said, no, I'm sorry, we're not going to submit to the state. So the state effectively bought the Christian community by forming what became the Roman Catholic Church in the 300s. And it took a while for it to solidify. And of course, what the Roman Catholic Church had to do is go back to the, was it Matthew 16, is it, who do you say I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and so forth. And, you know, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my assembly, and of course build the church, and so forth. So they use that as anointing Peter as the first pope or the vicar of Christ. Christ, his representative here on earth, and that's what the pope is supposed to be. And, you know, there is the Coptic version of that. There is a slightly difference in the Orthodox. But that's the general history. And then, of course, the issue I had that I mentioned is I did some more research on the Roman Catholic perspective on the tithe. And apparently, indeed, they looked at the priest as the Levitical priest as the recipient of the tithe, and therefore the Catholic priest as the recipient of the tithe. And this goes back, I think, to like the 500s writings about that. But there's also some stuff about they're not as dependent on the tithe, and the tithe goes to specific things. I don't know what the specific things, maybe the magisterium or the buildings or whatever, and the local community is on gifts or offerings. I think they use the term gifts, not offerings. But so I looked into that a bit, but it does seem to me that's the history. And of course, there was the indulgence thing, and to what degree was that in addition? Here's another way to raise some more funds, because I don't know when that was first written about at this point. But of course, Luther's 95 Theses was the rejection of that, and so many other things were built upon that. But his opening to the world was the rejection of indulgences with the 95 Theses, and obviously that didn't make him sit well within the Roman Catholic Church, because it was hitting their wallet. So when I look at myself and the various things that I've discussed, as I mentioned yesterday, I think, if I point this out about the Protestant church, that the tithe is theft, I'm hitting their wallet, and it's not going to go over well. So I think that's exactly what I'm going to do. Use that as my 95 Theses in order to break in a little bit more on this. And so one of the things I did today with Chris is, okay, dear Chris, show me something in Scripture where the idea that the tithe is theft would be wrong. There wasn't anything there, but what were the things that some would use? And there was a bunch. We reviewed them, and it's kind of like, no, it's easy to throw that. But perhaps one of the things that I've heard it many times, that people say, because it's not the word tithe, but it's 1 Corinthians 9:14, and from the ESV, in the same way the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. Say, aha! So you need to give to the institutional church so you can pay the pastors so they can make a living off the gospel. That's what it says, right? No. No, it doesn't. And it's interesting to look at lots of translations because it is the more modern ones that give you the idea of living. You know, for example, not too long ago, the King James, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Live of the gospel. Not make their living. So what does the word mean? You know, if you look at the Strong's definition, it's zeo is the Greek, and it means to live. The Thayer, to live, breathe, to be among the living, not lifeless, not dead, to enjoy real life, metamorphically to be full of vigor, and things of that nature. Not have an income. And that's the issue. It's how do I live, as in You know, it's in him we live and move and exist, the Acts 17. I live, things move and, you know, I exist kind of thing because of Christ. So if I'm going to preach or proclaim the gospel, that should be not my income, but my life. LSV. So also the Lord directed those proclaiming the good news to live of the good news. So I would suggest with saying, again, proclaiming instead of preach, because when you use the word preach, it gives you the connotation. It's not the direct statement, because preach is valid in the sense that when I proclaim, I am preaching. But the connotation of preach is the idea of a guy behind a pulpit. So I would suggest those proclaiming the good news should live of the good news. In other words, if I tell you the good news, the gospel, again, the good news is the gospel. In both cases, like the NASB, so the Lord directed those who proclaimed the gospel to get their living from the gospel. In each of these cases, the gospel is the euangelion, you, good, you know, angelon, the message, the news, where we get angelos, the messenger, or angel. So the good message, the good news is what you are proclaiming or preaching. And it's not the preacher in the sense of the guy with that title, the certificate on the wall and so forth. It's those who proclaim, which is anyone. And it's not that, if we understand it in the wider context, it's anyone who is proclaiming. We all proclaim, all the followers of Christ should, when we proclaim the good news, we should live by that, not make money off of it. We should live it. That should be part of our heart. What drives us? I'm going to tell you about the gospel, the good news, because the good news has an impact on me. It was interesting when I did the quick research, because I have the just like the, you know, the tool I have shows in the King James where particular words are used, how many often, how they're interpreted. In the NASB, I have a similar thing, and so where this word is used, it's 100 and some times. You know, it's holding life, live, lived, lives, living, alive, and then get their living one time. And I suggest the reason it's only there one time is because it's a misuse of the word. It's a reading in. Like so often, a word, you know, church, is used, or divorce, as I've used. It's used in order to give a particular connotation. Within the English context, it is not what it says. It's not what the Bible says. And this really has become a big deal the more I see this. So when we go back to the idea that the tithe is theft, and you look at some of the places where you say, okay, is there a weakness? Well, here is a place that somebody may say, here is a weakness. No, it's not. One, we don't have the tithe in context at this point. So people will say, okay, well, gifts and whatnot, but it's not your income. It's not what it's talking about at all. And of course, anyway, so this stuff I think is important. And what I'm going to try to do is make these things shorter. And obviously, again, I didn't. But I'm going to strive to, I plan, which hopefully I have done for this one. When you hear my wife's voice, it'll be a lot shorter. Because the plan would be probably starting Monday, the voicemails will be on BitChute. I'll be less focused on personal family issues, not completely abandon it, but more focused on the theology and the, we might say, the commentary in current events, like what's happening in Gaza or Ukraine or things of that nature. And maybe the things about Shofar Nexus, Shofar Leaks, and so forth. Because Deuteronomy 6, the command of the dad to teach his kids. If I can't get to my kids directly from the voicemail, maybe putting it on a more public platform may get to somebody within Covenant Presbyterian, Meadowview, or where my family is now, which I have no idea where they are, if they are. But it may get to somebody that knows them eventually. And it's, didn't I see your dad say this kind of thing? What a joy that would be. So I wouldn't be surprised if it starts Monday. And maybe, I don't know if it'd be all 5 days, maybe just 3 days, because they work right, the others are not quite right. And I start putting it on BitChute, Brighteon, Rumble, I think. I doubt I'll put it on YouTube. YouTube is just a waste of time. But if I start putting it on those, and, you know, somebody starts, you know, there was comments before on the Foundation series, and dialogue starts. Maybe in a couple of weeks, I may be back up to the hundreds of views every few days, or within a few days of each video. And maybe there'll be dialogue with somebody in Tennessee, in North Carolina, in the Lexington area, extended family in Florida, or other places, Pennsylvania, places like that. Somebody says, I know this guy. I know his family. Maybe there'll be some dialogue. It's worth a try. Of course, obviously this puts my family stuff more in the open. But again, as I pointed out yesterday, the video. This is an attempt to teach my kids, consistent with Deuteronomy 6:7. This is a bit long, but hopefully worth your time. This was health, medical, clothing, exercise, state, education, Christ, from August of a year ago, with 762 views right now. And again, most of those. So it's probably under 100 that actually watched, because it was long, you know, an hour and 18 minutes. So it's long. And if 1% of them, of that figure, watched the bulk of it at least, I had far more of an impact than I did in my own family. And I do think, you know, if you look at my top videos on BitChute, again, I don't think this is accurate. What I find, because again, number one, YouTube lifts age restrictions, 1,400 views, 1,243 views. The issue there is, I think, because YouTube's in the title, that's where it got the clicks. So I don't think that's real. Very much don't think that's real. But the All Hail the Whistleblower is next at almost 1,200 views. That encourages me. You know, that video right there, almost 1,200 views. And I wouldn't be surprised if there may be an actual, maybe even 100 of them are actually real. That would be a joy. You know, and then, of course, now I'm 65, Obedience to Christ and Social Security at 1,100 views. I mean, that was a tough one. You know, the Kristallnacht, again, I don't know why that has so many views. And the mask mandate in court in Tennessee, which, well, it's short. It was the intro. And, of course, there's the picture of David Toulis there. Then they have a good name, Anarchist. And I show that artwork from Lynn. And I don't know how well that went over. The postcard reconciliation, which is a long time ago, I don't know how well that really made sense. But the pre-vaccine should take a D-dimer test. That's at 930 views. That's only less than 2 years ago. So I'm encouraged that's you know, in the top 10. Because I think that one was important, and I really hope a lot of the views are real. Again, that was only a 2-minute, 48-second video, so quite possibly a lot of those watched the whole thing. The other one that I delight in, and again, it's fairly short, 9 minutes, is the Black Families Matter, because that's what, number 9. because that was strong, I think, especially the close. I really like the close. And, you know, number 10, just to complete my list, at 921 views, Draft and Challenge, The Bible is True and the Institutional Church is a Fraud. You know, but of course, it's 2.5 years old. That's a big deal. Anyway, I hope to spread my audience. The reason being is because I'm trying to break through. Clearly, but one other thing. I'm going to try to be short in the future, because I want to build the audience, and people can't handle 30-minute videos. But, you know, on my cards, I started with adding the He Begged Us link, which is there. And it gives you, if you go to that, you end up with the stuff about the stuff with MetaView. Because the He Begged Us comes from the Genesis passage. The thing I did next was Molech. Because, you go there, because Lasket.org/Molech, and you have a bunch of various things about the subject of Molech. I do have the Endure one, which I never really, because the Endure is the idea of to abide under, and I wanted to express that, and I don't think I got that yet. But anyway, you know, there's other things like, for example, considering what I talked about at the beginning, the Quran and the Hadith, because Lasket.org/Islam is there. It's been there for years. Again, because of the idea that I contend is appropriate for the follower of Christ. We're called to love the Muslim and contend with Islam. So, what happens next? Fortunately, I won't need new cards for a while, but I may. But the point is, I'm going to try to adjust these voicemails. They'll still be voicemails, shorten what you hear from my wife, and put it to a wider audience. It's still going to be the promised videos. I don't think I'm going to hide that. And I think I may do an intro video to the intro videos, because I have the promise, because lasket.org/promise, intro, where you have the 9 introductory videos, most notably the collateral murder one. But maybe I need an intro to that in order to say why all this is happening in a more concise way. And then, of course, why the change in the format. Anyway, so many things I'm working on. I really hope, it is my hope and prayer that tomorrow, real quick, I have not heard anything about Mike Day, so I don't know what's happened. I don't know if he's alive or not. But I really hope tomorrow the video, Suckered by Encryption, is complete, online, gets an audience, maybe even interaction. I'd love to get interaction even the first day. One of the things I now have on the website, on the Shofar Nexus website, is to say, is to open the door to dialogue and an interview. If I can get an interview with somebody who has a wider audience, this thing could blow wide open. And of course, the other thing is, I want to find somebody else who's the face of this. I'm the guy flipping bits. I'm not the guy to do this stuff. Too much work. And it's not the work I need to do. And I'm also too controversial. as when I ask my friend Daniel Liu, do I scare people? And his simple response was, yes. Anyway, my lady, my wife, I'm going to try to break through because I love you and I love our kids. I haven't seen you or our kids in 11 years. 11 years. It changes a man. It has a really significant impact on a man. I happen to be the man who had that impact. In the process, I've probably done a lot of dumb things. I probably will continue to do more dumb things. But one thing I did do that I will claim is not dumb, that was the right thing and a tremendous blessing to me and obviously to our kids, and I hope to you, is I got married to you. If I didn't get married to you, our kids wouldn't exist. So, I mean, that's a given. But you have been a remarkable blessing to me. Even today, even though you're showing hate to me today, you have been a remarkable blessing to me. Because in my mind, in my heart, there's a woman that I love and adore that I haven't turned from. And to have that, to know that that woman exists, is a huge blessing to me. You are a blessing to me, even when you show me hate. My lady, my wife, I love you and I want you back.